It is wonderful that we are able to start this service with the rites of holy baptism and rededication. Let us pray together. Gracious God, by our baptism, you welcome us into the household of faith and open the way to new life. New life in this world and in the next. Receive these who are baptized today and strengthen us, O God, all to be your people in the world and a blessing to the earth. Amen. Amen. Brother Justin Lee Hong Tan, do you desire today to be baptized?
I do.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, will you turn away from sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you, Justin, be his faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
Amanda Minshew Tao, Tia, do you desire to reaffirm your faith this morning?
I do.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, Amanda, do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you be his faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
Justin and Amanda, do you desire for this beautiful child to be baptized this morning?
Yes, we present Tristan Yilongtan to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Will you be responsible for seeing that the child that you present this morning is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
We will, with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the life of God's grace and God's love?
We will, with God's help.
Will you continue to honor your own spiritual journey as a role model for the child that you present on today? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
We will, with God's help.
And to all of you assembled here this morning, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life of faith?
We will.
Let us now pray for all who are to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Open their heart, O God, to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send them into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, now sanctify this water, we pray to you, O God. Sanctify this water by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who are here will be cleansed from sin and born again, and may they continue forever in the power of your love, your compassion, and your mercy. Amen. Justin, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. You are now sealed as one of Christ's own forever and ever. Amen. Tristan, hey, my buddy. Good morning. Happy Easter. Tristan, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. You are now sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever and ever. May the church say, Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, give to all receiving the sacrament of baptism, an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Let us now welcome the newly baptized and rededicated, Justin, Amanda, and Tristan. We receive you with the joy into the household of God and into the priesthood of all believers. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. Let us all pray. God of grace, you caused the sun to rise and chase away the shadow of death. Each day you promise resurrection, that we may be born again to new life and overcome all that would hurt or destroy. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we may be alive again with the power and peace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. O God of all our days, we come this morning with eager anticipation. We seek to know you, to see you, to touch you. Open our hearts that we might experience you anew. Open our lives that we may be faithful witnesses to your resurrection. May we, with shouts of joy, proclaim your steadfast, liberating love to all people everywhere. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Memorial Church of Harvard University. I am Professor Jonathan L. Walton, the Plummer Professor of Christian Morals and Pusey Minister here in the Memorial Church, and we welcome you this beautiful Easter morning with Jesus' joy. We welcome you to this space of grace at the center of Harvard Yard for all of God's people. Now, we have a saying here at the Memorial Church: everybody at Harvard University may not belong to the Memorial Church, but Memorial Church belongs to everybody at Harvard. Thus, it is my absolute privilege to welcome you all here this morning and to be able to say to you, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Now, whether I am looking at your beautiful face in front of me or whether you are listening to us streaming radio, it is a blessing to have you here with us on today. Now, I don't want to belabor the points this morning, but there are several announcements in your bulletins, and there are a few things that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, due to the chilly weather outside, it is my understanding, friends, that the Easter Bunny decided to make a visit indoors this morning. Now, the bunny usually drops around Easter eggs around Harvard Yard or Sparks House, but you may notice that they're sprinkled around the sanctuary on this morning. They have been left for our children at their 9:30 a.m. Easter egg hunt. So if you see an Easter egg on the floor or if you feel one pressing up against your tushy in the pew, just leave it there. Try not to squash it or Dean Hempton fight the temptation to eat up the children's candy. Please leave the eggs for the young people. And second, we are thrilled to see so many beautiful faces here on this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning. But believe it or not, we actually are here all year long. And because of that, we have activities here at the Memorial Church in which you can participate in all year long. Bible studies, musical concerts, student worship, film screenings. We are committed here at the Memorial Church to educating minds, expanding hearts, and enriching lives. So I encourage you. I encourage you to drop by our welcome table in the vestibule on your way out, or visit us online at memorialchurch.harvard.edu to check out some of the many exciting ministries that we have here at the church. We would love to see your face in this space of grace more often. And speaking of our website, our Gund University Choir Master Edward Jones and the amazing voices of Harvard University Choir have uploaded a special treat for you to our church website. Their musical recording, Spring Burst Today, a celebration of Eastertide, is available for free at memorialchurch.harvard.edu. The recording, it offers a wide and beautiful selection of Eastertide anthems, and it features the Charles B. Fisk and Peter Gomes Memorial Organ that was dedicated on Easter Day in 2012. Please go to our website and receive this gift from our choir. You will definitely, definitely be glad that you did. And finally, this morning, I would like to thank all of our affiliated ministers, our student deacons, ushers, and seminarians from Harvard Divinity School for providing smiling faces and helping hands this morning. Quite often, their service to the community is overlooked. We just take, for example, the presence of the ushers for granted. Yet each week, these wonderful ushers help to set the tone for hospitality and warmth in the sanctuary. So we thank God for their presence. At this time, our church school teachers will begin making their way down the aisle to collect our young people ages 3 through 12. We offer an age-appropriate Christian education lesson downstairs. All year long, these amazing, spirit-filled young people, I'm talking about our student teachers, our spirit-filled student teachers, our Cori Report background check student teachers, offer age-appropriate Christian education. So if you have a child ages 3 through 12, please allow them to go downstairs. And please bring your young people back each week, knowing here at the Memorial Church, we don't just say that our children are our future. We believe that our children are our present. And for everybody else gathered here this morning, how can we say we love the Lord, who we've never ever seen before, but forget to say we love the one whom we walk beside each and every day? How can I look upon your face, Sister Ladd, and ignore God's love? It's you I must embrace. You're my brother, you're my sister, and I love you with the love of the Lord. We would ask at this time if you would please stand up and pass the peace of Christ.
Please be seated. God's generosity is evident in the abundant life we experience each day. Our life is a holy trust, and out of God's trust in us, we are asked to return a portion of our lives, our treasure, and our love to God. As we are reminded this day of God's generosity in resurrection joy, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ. And in response to the gift of life, we give back a portion of all we have been given in gratitude to God, who is the giver of all good gifts. It provides wonderful programs for our students, outreach through our grants committee, to so many of our community ministries and our amazing music program, and so much more your gifts will provide to this community and beyond. Gratitude is made full when it arises from a thankful heart. The ushers will begin this day from the front of the church and receive the offering. Please give with joy and deep gratitude.
Oh, A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and sent me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews in you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of them to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
as you are able to sing Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty, found in your order of worship.
And you may take your seats. The lessons have been read for your hearing. Ezekiel chapter 37 and Mark chapter 16. And I would like to preach this morning from the topic, a graveyard revival. A graveyard revival. Let us pray. Lord, we need your help. Amen. Who doesn't love a good story? Stories are the language of ideas. They provide snapshots of the human condition. And stories give voice to the strivings and struggles that structure our existence. When I think about a good story, I think about their multi-layered dimensions, like the petals which come to constitute a flower's bloom. It's the inner instability and tensions that cause it to unfold. A good story is not defined by its harmony or its consistency, but rather by its unpredictability, by its surprising twists and turns. Just recently, for instance, I had the pleasure of reading an amazing novel by Luis Erdrich, The Last Report on the Miracles at Little No Horse. It's an unfolding tale of an aging Catholic priest and a former disgraced nun. A well-respected Catholic priest and a former disgraced nun who happened to be the same person. It's a story about this priest's attempt to convert Native Americans, even as the Native Americans successfully convert her. And it's the common story concerning the eradication of Native cultures, even as it's a story about how such cultures refuse to die. Consider the scene that Erdrich paints of one particularly savage buffalo hunt. Oh, it was a whirlwind of destruction. 1,200 buffaloes slaughtered. But rather than run away, the surviving buffaloes acted in a chilling fashion. The buffaloes remained. All night until daybreak, the buffaloes circled quietly around the carcasses. They seemed not concerned with other hunters that might ambush them. And the next day, about the time that the fly showed up with the heat of the sun, a buffalo let loose a terrible cry of sorrow. Erdrich writes that it was though the earth itself was sobbing. The buffalo went crazy with grief, for they saw the end of things, according to one old Indian chief. And thus, like many of us, he said, they no longer cared to live. Oh, there's something powerful about this scene. Sure, Erdrich is a fantastic writer, but there's something else. Maybe it's the fact that grief connects us all across time, across cultures, and even across living species. Maybe it's the fact that the specter of death hangs over all of our heads. And maybe it's the awareness that to avail oneself to love, to dream, or to aspire and have hope is to invite the torrential storm clouds of hurt, disappointment, and utter despair. For vulnerability necessitated by love and hope is always accompanied by a proviso. A proviso that says suffering and grief are possible, if not inevitable. Well, this is the way. This is the way that it appears for the primary protagonist of today's two scripture lessons, the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament and the two Marys in Mark's gospel account. Two sacred stories, two biblical accounts, two narratives separated by six centuries, yet united by a central question. Can one find hope in a graveyard? This is what God asked the prophet Ezekiel. God takes Ezekiel and sits him down in a graveyard. A graveyard full of despair, despondency, and desiccation. In this particular story, the graveyard represents the entire nation of Israel, both the northern kingdom sacked by the Assyrians in 721 BC and the southern capital of Jerusalem captured by the Babylonians 134 years later. And God asks Ezekiel the question, can these dry bones, son of man, live again? Well, to understand the point of the story is to interpret the meaning of dry bones in the ancient Jewish context. For in several Proverbs and many Psalms, healthy and dry bones are associated with hope and with despair. Cheerfulness, joy, and hope, oh, all are signs of healthy bones. This is why the author of Proverbs 15 and 30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives good health to the bones. But on the other hand, dry bones signify those who live physically but have died spiritually and emotionally. This is why the author of Proverbs 7:22 said, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up one's bones. So God, God led Ezekiel to the heart of Israel's problems and placed him down in the midst of their despair. Oh, and right there, in the midst of their seemingly helpless and hopeless situation, God asks Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again?" God is not asking Ezekiel whether the exiles will survive physically, whether they will have life or not. But God is asking the prophet if, despite their circumstances, will God's people discover a way to lift up their bowed down heads and live life and have life more abundantly? Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Well, this is the perennial and persistent question that the problems of life ask us each and every day. Can our dry bones live? Life's trials and tribulations can sap health and hope from our bones. Well, I believe university students in Kenya are asking this morning, can our dry bones live again? To witness 147 of your classmates massacred is reason enough to lose hope in humanity. I'm certain that families of 276 abducted Nigerian schoolgirls continue to ask 6 months later, can our dry bones live again? For how can we keep hope when it appears that our daughters are now just an afterthought to an international community? Or imagine, please imagine how same gender loving families in Arkansas, Indiana, and so many other states are feeling as legislatures try to push through these quote unquote religious freedom bills. Bills that in effect allow businesses to use religious faith in order to baptize their bigotry. As a nation, we have come so far. Yet such reactionary policies have people of goodwill wondering, can the dry bones of equal justice, can they ever live? But I believe, my brothers and sisters, that many of you need not look somewhere else or somewhere else for examples. For you have stories of your own, stories of stress and individual struggle. Maybe you are among those seemingly trapped in the clutches of chronic unemployment or underemployment. Maybe you are among the millions who are battling mental illness and depression. And every day the skies of your mental imagination seem cloudier than the day before. Or maybe you find yourself trapped under the crushing weight of a failed relationship, a pending divorce, a custody battle, and all of the social stigma which it entails. Like the prophet Ezekiel, it appears that despair and desiccation are defeating your hope and your health. Well, if that's your story on this morning, I want to let you know that, brothers and sisters, you're in the right place at the right time. Why? Because it's Easter. It's Easter. Easter is our annual reminder that the sting of death has no purchase over the gift of life. It is Easter. Easter is the perennial tale of God's promise that blossoms out of the graveyards of grief and despair. It's Easter. Without the story of Easter, tragedy and triumph prevail. But with Easter, the mighty anthems of hope are loosed in the human heart. It's Easter. And it's this hope that allows us to sing even in the midst of our graveyards. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us, Lord, again. It's Easter. No matter how bleak the situation, no matter how dark the night, no matter how severe the winter season that we just endured, Easter reminds us that we need not give in to despair. No environment is too arid, no hour too hopeless, no gravestone is too heavy for us to concede to the worst seasons that life has to offer. God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" And Ezekiel puts his faith in God and puts the question back to God. Well, Lord, you know. So God then tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And then I will cause breath to enter these bones, and they shall live again. Well, Ezekiel has faith in God, but a positive end result also depends on Ezekiel's own willingness to act. In other words, God is saying to Ezekiel, if you give it your best, Ezekiel, then I will do the rest. Why? Because our extremity is God's opportunity. When you and I have reached our limits, that's when we put our trust in a God that has no limits. Ah, we know that God is the God of infinite possibilities. Well, similar is true in Mark's account, in Mark's account of the resurrection. The male disciples, they're scattered in fear. The male disciples are hiding. They're trapped in the quicksand of their own sorrow. The male disciples are hiding. Oh, they're throwing balloons, blowing up balloons for their own pity party. Y'all know how emotional men can be. But the two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, though their hearts are heavy, though they have plenty of reason to fear, they remain committed to making sure Jesus receives a proper burial worthy of their Lord. This is why they begin walking toward the tomb. They walk toward the tomb with their sense to anoint his body in hand, not aware of who would roll away the stone, but yet they keep walking. They don't know who will have the strength to push that heavy stone away, but yet they keep walking anyway. You see, for these women, that which seemed improbable for them was not impossible for God. Oh, my childhood pastor used to say growing up, he used to say that their hope helped to roll away the stone. For in the poetic prose of former Harvard Hollis professor Amos Wilder, it was the third day. The immovable stones tossed aside, the collapsed linens, the blinding angel, and the chalking guards. Retell, renew the event. Retell, renew, for we were there and he is here. It's always the third day. It is Easter. And for somebody here this morning, for somebody here who feels entombed by your circumstances, for somebody here this morning who is concerned about the stones that appear too heavy for you to move alone, allow the hope of Easter to be your help for tomorrow. Don't give out. Don't give up. Don't give in. God can still spark a revival in the places that others only see death and defeat. It's Easter. I believe that this morning. I believe that this morning. Why? Because there are too many stories all around us of where the improbable became possible. And that which was deemed dead was brought back to life. If you don't believe me, brothers and sisters, ask Jessie Little Dobert. She's a member of the Wampanoag community on the Cape and in Martha's Vineyard. Well, some years ago, Jessie started having dreams about people who looked like her, but they were speaking a different language, a language that she didn't understand. Well, it was a street down on the Cape that made her wonder if she was dreaming about the original Wampanoag language, a language that had been considered dead for over 100 years. Well, after years of working with linguists at MIT, after years of scouring through ancestral documents and working with her local community, Jessie Little Doe helped to speak life back into the language. Now Jessie's daughter, May. May is the first native Wampanoag speaker since the 1800s. And by 2016, there's a plan to have a Wampanoag immersion school down in Mashpee. It's Easter. A native culture that some thought was dead and desiccated. With hope and hard work, the Wampanoag community said to the rest of us, we are not dead, we still live here. This is why I believe in graveyard revivals. You still don't believe me. You still don't believe me? Ask 13-year-old Vidal Shasti and his middle school principal, Nadia Lopez, at Brooklyn's Mott Hall Bridges Academy. Vidal's school is located in one of the least resourced communities in Brooklyn, Bronzeville. And it lacks minimal resources that so often we take for granted. But when stopped randomly on the street and asked by the Humans of New York blogger Brandon Staton, who influences you most in life? Vidal said that it was his principal, Miss Lopez. Vidal recounted how Miss Lopez tells them every day that they matter. She tells them every day that for every time you drop out of school, another jail cell is built. She refers to them not as students, but as scholars. She changed the colors of the school to purple to signify royalty. And though she hoped to raise some money to send these middle school kids on a campus visit to Harvard, why? Because she wanted to let them know that in your imagination and in your physical capacity, there are no limits to what God has for you. Well, my brothers and sisters, we know how this story ends. They hoped to raise $100,000 and they raised over $1 million. And Vidal, whose name in Latin literally means life-giving, and the other kids from Mott Hill Bridges Academy stood outside on the steps of the Memorial Church just a few days ago and took their group picture. Why? Because now they have enough money to bring a class to Harvard every year and scholarship money to support their college pursuits. Why, brothers and sisters? Because it's Easter. It's Easter. It's Easter. God can revive situations that others have deemed dead. It's Easter. God can enliven and enrich our souls with the succor of salvation and Jesus' outstretched, pierced hand of hope. It's Easter. The cross, that symbol which once was a symbol of disgraceful death, we can now find the possibility of renewed and revived life. It's Easter. Because of God's ability to irrigate dry valleys of despair. That's why you and I can take comfort on this morning. There's no need for us to languish in the graveyards of grief, entombed by our trials, or remain blinded by life's trying circumstances. But rather, brothers and sisters, like the great hymn writer Isaac Watts, we can sing with cheerful hearts this morning. At the cross. Where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart were rolled away, it was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. It's Easter.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn, "Morning Has Broken," found in your order of worship.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks for everything.
It is truly right, good, and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we lift our voices as we sing. May we be changed again into your disciples, feasting on your grace to be strengthened to serve this world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night before he was crucified, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to you, O God, and broke it, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as supper was ending, he took the cup. And having given thanks to God, he said, take this, all of you, and drink it. This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." By the power of your Holy Spirit, may these gifts be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. And bring us into the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, that with all your creation we may praise your name forever. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God, holy food for the journey of life.
Thank you.
as we leave this place, but never from God's presence. Let us remember to love yourself, for you're made in the imago Dei of God, and loving yourself is a precondition for loving your neighbor. Be quick to compliment, slow to criticize, and if you do so constructively. Smile liberally, holding your head high in hope, realizing that what may seem improbable for us, all things are possible with God, because it's Easter. May we all say together, Amen.